June is Men's Health Month. Optimize your total wellness with Men's T Clinic. For over a decade, Tolos continue to trust Men's T Clinic to transform their hormone health, mental focus, weight, movement, and sexual health. Be the next life change. 972-GO-MEN'S-T or mensteclinic.com.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
With the first pick in the 2025 NBA Draft, the Dallas Mavericks select Cooper Flagg from Duke University.
And that is how it sounded just after 7 o'clock last night when the Mavericks got Cooper Flagg. It made it official. Very much a ton of suspense. Ton of suspense going into this. Had no idea. Had no idea where they were going to go.
There was suspense because they could always mess something up.
It's Nico Harris.
Mm-hmm. And you had said 99.99999% yesterday.
Yeah, I was leaving the door open just in case something crazy happened. Because I would have told you on, February 1st?
Yeah.
That there was a 99.99% chance that Luka never gets traded.
Worst thing that's ever happened to me in the month of February.
Is that when your mom died?
Yeah.
Jeez. Sorry about that.
God.
White Sox are going to throw up a video tribute
to
me.
Stop it. So they made it official. Cooper Flagg is a Dallas Maverick. And this is Cooper on the conversations that he had with the Mavs during his workouts leading up to the draft.
It was great. It was a great workout down there to get in and meet everybody and see everybody. But I think, you know, talking to Coach Kidd, I think he just has a lot of confidence in me to just come in and be an impact player. He's going to, you know, let me have the ball a little bit, I think, and just try and rock out and do what I can do.
I mean, obviously, we're going to be going through every single game that he has with, like, a fine-tooth comb.
Yep.
You know, like, and I'll be honest, like, last night, you know, perfect example. It's, if the Mavs had the 10th pick in the draft or the 11th pick that they originally were going to.
Yep.
You know, how much are you watching at the start of the draft?
I'm not. I'm probably keeping an eye on the Rangers game and just looking at Twitter to see what they did.
And you're watching the prospective no-hitter.
Yeah, that you ruined. Yep.
That I ruined. Absolutely. But, you know, because they had the first pick, you know, you go over there. Now, what that did is that, like, all right, how does this make you watch the rest of the draft? You know, there's not a whole lot of local intrigue. You know, Trey Johnson, when he went, you wanted to see him if you're a Texas fan, or VJ Edgecombe. You wanted to see him because you're a Baylor fan or whatever. But, I mean, this was a fun night. It was fun because it's like we all felt like we had a funeral in early February.
Oh, yeah. It was a national period of mourning.
It was a national period of mourning. And this is kind of like the rebirth.
It's optimism. It's the glimmer of hope that maybe things will be okay. Like that's what exists now. I still don't think it's one of those things where it's still not right. It still doesn't feel good, but there's some excitement to it now.
I mean,
there's a handful of Mavericks fans who are just like, "Ep, screw it, we're good now. I don't care." Like you do have a little bit of that, but I think for most fans, this is like, "All right, I can begin to heal now." Like that's how they look at it.
They can. There's gonna be pressure on him because he is now like considered the savior. For this franchise, even though this franchise has got some Hall of Famers on it right now, he's still going to be looked at as that.
They got three Hall of Famers. I mean, it's you got Cooper joining that because you got Kyrie, AD, and then you got Nico, who's going to go in as an executive.
Right, yeah.
Just ask him.
You got Klay. We forgot about Klay.
Yeah, him too.
So
it's easy to forget about Klay the last couple of years.
Yeah, stop it. Here's Cooper on dealing with the pressure being the number one pick.
I think everybody deals with it differently. I think my way that I deal with pressure and I deal with expectations is just using the people around me, you know, using my parents, using my brothers, using my friends from back home who have been with me every step of the way. And that's my support system. That's how I deal with things like that. So, you know, just trying to breathe and deal with things like that. It's definitely not easy, but it's something you got to deal with.
The pressure being number one, he is going to have as much. Will he have as much as Wemby?
Different. Like, I mean, yeah, it's nationally or with his team itself?
Nationally.
Nationally, Wemby has more pressure.
Yeah.
Locally to his team, there's more pressure on Cooper Flagg to be good for the Mavericks base than there was for the Spurs fans. Spurs fans have their ton of titles and everything else. Yeah, and it's like, it's San Antonio. It's their team. They're not worried about it. Wemby is supposed to be, I mean, the comparison that he kept getting was, what was the comparison Woj threw out there? Well, he said greatest prospect ever, period.
Any sport.
Yeah, but he also said, he said he's Kevin Durant on offense and Rudy Gobert on defense.
Yeah.
And it's like, okay, so I mean, that's pretty ridiculous expectations to put on one person.
Yeah.
And so if he falls short of it, Wemby is going to be nationally just destroyed more than Flagg is. But locally with their team, it's Flagg.
The Flagg pressure and the Flagg intrigue is more for me in the sense that we all knew who he was coming in. Right?
Yeah, but I mean, there was enough attention on Wemby during the process that I think people realized who he was.
Yeah, there was enough attention on him. Mavericks are 20-1 to win the West. 20-1. That's ninth in the Western Conference in terms of where their odds are. I just saw that pop up on the screen. He is okay. You're right. Compared to people knew who Wemby was, but the fact that he's somebody that we all watched in college. We never saw Wemby play.
We have a stronger awareness of him, like, as a player. There's a greater awareness, and I mean, that cuts both ways.
By the way, that was a big part of last night. Did you notice that?
What?
And I wonder if this is a trend, because in the previous two drafts, I think there was only like
three
American college basketball players from college drafted in the top five over the last 2 years. Total.
Mm-hmm.
And this year, you had, let's see, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. I mean, the entire top 10. The first player drafted this year that did not play college basketball was the 12th pick.
Yeah, I mean, it's
Noah Essengay. And he was the one that left his team.
Mm-hmm.
His team was in the finals of, I guess it was the German league or the French league. He was in the finals, and he leaves up 2-1 to go to the draft, and now he's gone. He quit the team, which that's a huge no-no, man. Like, this is not leaving the Cheez-Its bowl.
It was a lot of college players, but it was also,
and I wonder if this is the new thing. Like, well, this is like because of NIL. And you can make more money in college. This is the new thing. We're back to college first.
Maybe we still have there, because there's what, three of the top 10 were not American born.
No, but they went to college.
Right. They went to college here in America, but they were not American born. And so, but I mean, even still, that is, we've had this discussion before. I think Reggie mentioned it recently when he was on with us. I know Bassick used to talk about it all the time, which the idea is, Bassick had the belief that we were never going to see an American-born player be the best player in basketball ever again. Because he said they grow up on AAU circuits and they play a lot of ISO ball and do different things like that. Whereas foreign-born players are generally playing team basketball, and it's like, it's just a different type of game.
Totally different game.
And that eventually we're going to see, like, maybe not the number one pick would be, like, you're going to get plenty of American-born number one picks, but the best player in basketball will be somebody who was raised in that style of basketball, which is not as common here in the U.S. anymore.
Yeah, it's definitely not. And look, I mean, I do agree that the AAU world is a problem for the sport, because it's because the style of play just isn't team oriented. It's very ISO. It's bad for basketball in general. It's good for them. I mean, it's fine for the NBA because that's the way the NBA is. But it breeds bad basketball. That said, I like that we had 11 guys, the first 11 picks. I knew every single one of them, except I didn't really remember the kid that went to Brooklyn from BYU.
Brooklyn.
I didn't really have a great handle on him. The rest of them, it's like, all right, I saw all these guys play. That's good. I think it's good for the sport.
It's good for awareness. As long as people have the same sort of awareness that you do. Because I mean, you're a college basketball
most,
fan.
Yeah, most don't. Most don't. I mean, nobody has my awareness. My awareness is 99, baby. but no, yeah, most don't pay attention to college basketball.
So what was the...
I happen to do a podcast on the BetMGM Network. Well,
let's see here. I'm trying to look. So it was all freshmen taken until the 9th pick. And that was Colin Murray-Boyles when he went to the Raptors. And the first senior we had taken was Colin Cowherd at 11 from Washington State.
Cowherd.
Oh, that's Cedric Cowherd. Sorry.
Cedric Cowherd.
Yeah, that was... Did you hear that? That's what... I think it was Malika Andrews last night said. They like threw it back to her and she goes, Colin Cowherd goes to 11th, blah, blah. She called him Colin Cowherd.
He had a good backstory. I think he had to like pay to go to his first school.
Really?
To play. And then he was going to transfer to Duke. But it's a good backstory for him.
Now, here's the question. How many players are you going to be aware of that are drafted tonight?
Tonight? I mean, look, Jhani Broom is going to get drafted tonight.
So you'll know one for sure.
No, quite a bit, because you're gonna get
the seniors that have been playing for 4 years.
Now you're gonna get into the meat of the college basketball. This is the rank and file college player, right? You're gonna get right now. I actually might know more tonight than I did last night, because like you said, these are gonna be the upperclassmen.
I wondered at all. I mean, it doesn't look like it has at this point. I mean, a slight Mavericks tie-in, I guess. Did you feel at all like maybe Brunson changed things for the way people looked at college players?
Maybe at upperclassmen.
Because that experience that we talk about of playing team basketball, doing different things like that, you're going to get more of that playing 3-4 years of college.
Yes, you are. There's no doubt. Yeah, I think it might have. I think it might have. Because, I mean, go look at the top 10 here, right?
Yeah, it's all freshman but one guy.
It's all freshman but one guy, but also consider this, okay? Let's go to this. If you go look at all the players selected, that they all were freshmen, Rutgers didn't do anything this year. They had the second pick. Dylan Harper was the 2 pick. Baylor didn't do much. That was the 3. Rutgers, again, the 5. Trey Johnson to Texas, they got knocked out in the first round. Or second round, right?
Mm-hmm.
Oklahoma. They didn't do much. They were in the 8-9 game. BYU. BYU didn't do. South Carolina. Did South Carolina even make the tournament? Washington State. Nothing. You've got to get all the way to, like, obviously outside the Duke kids, you've got to get all the way to Derek Queen at Maryland for anybody whose team did anything. These are all freshmen getting picked in the top 10. It's really strange. Right, it's very, very strange where it is right now.
But I mean,
Georgetown had like a record-setting loss streak over the last 2 years.
Yeah, that is weird. I guess it's part of what it is just teams that have, like, you know, they invest in a certain player or whatever else with their NIL budget, and then they don't have anything else around.
They don't have anything else around it. But the BYU just is paying $4 million to like the top prospect. Top basketball player this year coming up. $4 million.
Where'd they get all that money?
Well, they got a good donor ship there. They do. They got a lot. They got a good NIL pipeline. But Cooper Flagg is your number one pick. Number one.
Not just the number one pick. Number one in our hearts.
He is. He's the savior. There is no doubt about it. It's Sean and RJ here on 105. Three,
fortune favors the bold.
The Rangers player most likely to be dealt at the deadline. We will talk more about this White Sox fan who got banned and who is the best dick in MLB. Yes, that's next. Diamond Cavs on the Fan.
This podcast is powered by Men's Tea Clinic. June is Men's Health Month. Optimize your total wellness with Men's Tea Clinic. For over a decade, Tolos continue to trust Men's Tea Clinic to transform their hormone health, mental focus, weight, movement, and sexual health. Be the next life change. 972 GO Men's Tea or menstclinic.com.
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9-to-5 for a 5-to-9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
The 0-2 pitch hit high into the air, pretty deep right field. Carlson going back on this. He turns to look, and it's out of here. Line drive home run to right for Josh Jung. It sails over all the bullpen, the tarp people out there in right, right over the 373 marker for Jung, his 8th home run this year. He's driven in all three, and the Rangers are up 3-0.
You're an idiot, and you don't know baseball.
Ranger fans, you're not dreaming.
How can you not be romantic about baseball?
How can you not be romantic about a great pitching performance from Jacob DeGrom last night? 7 innings, 1 hit. It's my fault. 2 walks, 7 strikeouts, 89 pitches. It was actually kind of okay with him not getting the no-no, because if you go back and you look at his last 6 or 7 starts, he's been in the 80s in his pitch count. They are clearly trying to keep his pitch count to a minimum. And if he didn't have the no-no, he doesn't come back out in the top of the 8th, I don't think. Anyway.
Probably
not. They were not going to do that. So they clearly have a plan with Jacob DeGrom. It is 80 pitches and get out of there. I'm fine with that. You know, as long as the game is... Like, what I don't want is him to get taken out in a tie game or a one-run game at 81 pitches when he's got more in the tank. Because that's like, all right, we might be sacrificing wins. 7-zip game, get the dude out of there, man. Like, the guy has shown that injuries find him. They find him. And they need him to win. They want to make the playoffs. They want to win the World Series. They need Jacob DeGrom.
I get it. It's a really creative way, though, to take the responsibility off yourself for the no-hitter. But look, I mean... It doesn't have the same allure it once did, the no-hitter. So it's not the worst thing in the world. It would have been cool to get it. But yeah, leave him in there. Let him get it. They did the right thing. As soon as it was given up, take him out. That's what it should have been. But overall, really impressive performance from Jacob DeGrom. And he continues to be incredibly, incredibly efficient. And it's not the same sort of raw strikeout stuff we've seen from him throughout his career. Because I think for his career, let me look it up real quick. He's 10 or 11 strikeouts per 9, and he's not that this year. He's not anywhere close to that. But he's been somebody. His strikeout to walk ratio is the highest in the history of Major League Baseball. His strikeout per 9 is about 11, and then this year he's 8.9. It is by far the lowest pretty much of his entire career. He's had one other year that was lower. It was 8.7 in 2016. But, I mean, he's been a 13, 14 strikeout per 9 guy for the last several years. And so the strikeout stuff isn't working the same way, but it's probably all part of just that, like we heard earlier in the season, that tailored approach of not trying to overwork his arm like he had been.
That's key. So I like the fact that they are trying not to overwork him. I like the fact that he seems to be pitching a little bit differently. You know, not necessarily needing to throw 99. He can still do it, but it seems like he doesn't need to on every single pitch. And maybe that keeps him healthy. You know, that's kind of part of it.
Overexertion. That is a concern.
Yeah, it really is. It's I think it's a major part of pitchers and why they get injured so frequently. So Rangers do get the 7-0 win over the Orioles out at Camden Yards. And now, Bobby Belt, we can go a little shopping. But we did the shopping yesterday for players coming in.
Yeah.
By the way, they have the Mariners. They're off today. The Mariners tomorrow night at Globe Life Field. We will have the game for you at 7:05.
Yeah, so we sold some or we bought some guys yesterday for the Rangers. Today we're going to look at who the Rangers might need to sell. So this is part two of the article that Jeff Passan and Kylie McDaniel had over at ESPN, which is the top 50 trade deadline candidates. And they assign a percentage value on the likelihood that each of these guys is going to get traded. And we talked about some of the guys that the Rangers could target. You know, they had put in there Josh Naylor, the first baseman from the Diamondbacks, Ryan O'Hearn from the Orioles. But there were a couple of guys on this list that they said were candidates to get traded from the Rangers. And we're going to go down the list. I'm going to give you the first two that are on this list, and then I'll give you the third one. And the third one is the third most likeliest player to get traded, period, in all of Major League Baseball, according to these odds. First one on this list, chance of being traded, 30%, Tyler Mahle. Says Mahle was thriving after returning from his 2023 Tommy John surgery, looking like a third or fourth starter despite a 2.34 ERA fueled by a very favorable stranded runner rate and batting average on balls in play. But he's currently on the injured list with right shoulder fatigue. Should he return healthy, he'll jump up this list. They say the best fits are Toronto, San Diego, Boston, and the Chicago Cubs. Mahle, where do you stand on the idea of dealing Mahle at this point? Is that only going to be related to where the Rangers are at by the deadline, yeah, or is there a party that says he may be going anyway? Let's go ahead and move this and just try and sacrifice some of the pitching to get some bats.
Well, okay, a lot of it has to do with where they are at the deadline. Also, what bats are available? If there's no bats available, it's like, okay, if they're kind of within like three games, five games of the wild card. And it's not like there's seven. If there's seven teams ahead of them, it's different. But if there's not, I probably have to keep them because that's kind of your formula.
Yeah, I mean, if you are going to deal him, are you dealing him for a major league player, or are you dealing him for prospects? Like, let's say they're in contention. And they're
probably a major league player.
And they want to move him. You would want a major league bat in return?
Yeah. Here's the problem with prospects. You never know, man.
You don't, but it's a lotto ticket.
It's a lotto ticket, yeah. I mean, look, I guess either one, but I would rather maybe try to get a current major leaguer that might be able to help a little bit.
As we look at this list from ESPN.com ranking the top 50 trade deadline candidates in Major League Baseball, we get to the second Ranger on this list, and they don't have a write-up for him because numbers 31 through 50 they didn't do write-ups on, so we don't have a percentage here, but this is an interesting name to throw out there given the next night after this article was published, he had big problems. That's Chris Martin, who's been really good in the bullpen all this year and then just had the meltdown three straight homers against the Orioles the other night.
Well, if all these Ranger players are likely to get dealt,
this didn't give a likelihood on it. And Mahle, to be fair, was 30%.
Yeah, so that's fair. That's fair. If the Rangers are going to compete for a playoff spot, they can't be dealing bullpen.
No, especially late inning bullpen.
Yeah, can't do that.
Because that's been a big issue for them. So I had looked this up the other day. If you look at the Rangers bullpen guys, Robert Garcia, this was as of 2 days ago, so it's shifted since then, I'm sure. Robert Garcia in the ninth inning has a 5.73 ERA. All other appearances, he's got a 1.47 ERA. Luke Jackson has a 5.09 ERA in the ninth inning. All other appearances, his ERA is zero.
It's pretty good.
Chris Martin had a 1.80 ERA in the ninth inning and 1.40 in other appearances. Hobie Milner has a 7.71 ERA in the ninth inning, 1.78 in other appearances. And then Jacob Webb has a 5.06 ERA in the ninth. It's 4.08 in other appearances. So you're talking about everybody in the bullpen, when they've been tasked with coming into the ninth inning and pitching, it's been difficult. It's been tough sledding.
Ninth inning's a different animal, man.
And that's where, when you look at Chris Martin and a 1.80 ERA in his ninth inning appearances to this point, is that something you really want to sacrifice? If you're going to do that, you better be making another trade for back into the bullpen.
Depth, yes.
Unless you start spiraling and you go full on fire sale. And then the last name here that they talk about the Rangers trading.
Real quick from the 682, trade Jake Berger for that one guy, Nate Lowe. Peyton's boy.
I'll pass.
Peyton loves him.
Loves him.
Why are you such a big fan of his? It's like weirdly obsessive.
It's the mustache.
Ah, that makes sense.
I really want his mustache.
It's your brother.
Can't have it.
Yeah, that makes sense. All right, the last player on this list from ESPN where they rank the likeliest trade deadline candidates is the third most likely player in all of Major League Baseball to get traded based on their grading. They say there's an 80% chance this October hero gets traded away. It's
Corey Seager?
Nope. Adolis Garcia.
I could see this coming from a mile away.
They say Garcia averaged 30 home runs in 2021 through 2024, but he has fallen off since his 23 career year. It's worth noting that per his ex-WOBA, he has been the 17th most unlucky hitter in the big leagues this year, and he has another year of team control, so some teams could see a trade as a good value opportunity. The best fits, according to this, were Philadelphia, Seattle, Cleveland, San Diego, San Francisco. Here's the thing that's interesting to me. If he's 80% to get dealt, that sounds like regardless of whether they're in contention or not, Garcia is a strong candidate to get traded, right?
Yeah.
If that's the case, why are you, even if it's been inconsistent, it hasn't been good, why are you getting rid of any bats right now? If you expect to be in contention, because that's your biggest problem.
That's a good question. Unless you are trading, you know, bat for bat.
Yeah, but I mean, if you're, what are you going to get in return for Garcia?
That I don't know.
Yeah, I would imagine you're getting somebody just as volatile.
Yes, and maybe you hope that they pop new scenery.
I was going to say that would just be a let's see if a change of scenery helps both of these guys kind of thing.
Could be. The Adolis is a fan favorite. That's gonna hurt. That's gonna hurt. It's the smart thing to do. He's not the same. I mean, he's not the same player that he was 2 years ago.
He's not, but
he only has one more year of control. You're not going to sign him. You're just not going to sign him long
term. He's hitting .288 in June. He's got a .794 OPS. You can live with that. And defensively, he's been.
It's
like,
fantastic.
Like I'm trying to see, he at one point had led all outfielders in defensive runs saved. And, I mean, his defensive war this year is almost a full share. So, he's been a positive for you. His war's 1.6 on the year.
You ain't running on him.
Mm-mm.
Nope. You are not.
I don't know. I don't like, if they're going to be in contention, I don't like the idea of trading Garcia. Even if he's been volatile. Because there's just too much that.
If you're still, that would be a sign that you don't think you can compete. Yes, I agree.
I would think so, but they seem to be talking about it as if he could be gone regardless.
I mean, the Rays did this last year, and they're competing this year. The Rays are going to be a Major League Baseball just announced yesterday, like they're trying to come up with a plan for what the Rays would do if they made the playoffs because they don't want to have to play at a minor league park.
Hey, they've been selling that minor league park better than they were the other spots.
Well, yeah, it's because it's actually in Tampa as opposed to over the bridge. But, you know, the Rays last year, they offloaded, Randy Arozarena.
Mm-hmm.
They gave up, what was it? They gave up like two other players, and they're like, we're going to take advantage of a dry market. We're going to be the only sellers, and we're going to restock. And here they are. I mean, they're going to wind up winning 88 to 90 games this year.
Yeah. And so, I mean, there's ways you can do it, but one of the ways I wouldn't think is let's purge somebody who's part of our glaring holes right now. Is part of that.
I agree. Diamond Cavs here on Sean and RJ on 105.3 The Fan. Have you heard of the name Richard Lovelady?
Yes.
You have?
I have.
Mets reliever.
Yes.
Well, former.
Yes. Former. I guess he was up for a day.
Yeah, they didn't like his nickname, I guess.
So his nickname was, so he decided that he wanted to, so his name is Richard Lovelady. He's been going by Richard Rich, Rick. He said, now I want to go by Dickie Lovelady. From now on. So I fully support the bit. So I got to hand it to Barstool on this one. They came up with the top 10 names in Major League Baseball history where their name was Dick.
Just Major League Baseball.
Just Major League Baseball.
Can last sports. Name be used?
Oh, the last name has to be incorporated in it.
Yes, the last you're incorporating the last name.
Okay.
So, because the greatest name of all time is former NASCAR driver Dick Trickle.
Dick Trickle's the greatest. I agree. That's totally the GOAT. Let's go back to the mid-1800s. Made his debut in 1872.
This podcast is powered by Men's Tee Clinic. June is Men's Health Month. Optimize your total wellness with Men's Tee Clinic. For over a decade, Tolos continue to trust Men's Tee Clinic to transform their hormone health, mental focus, weight, movement, and sexual health. Be the next life change. 972-GO-MEN'S-TEE or menstclinic.com.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Dick Hunt.
Okay.
Okay.
Dick, yeah, that was a video game in the 80s, right?
Yeah, let's go back to 1955. Dick Hyde. Try to get through this. I died of laughter. Let's see. This guy died in, he made his debut in 1925. He had 3.1 war. Dick Cox. Jesus, Peyton. My gosh. Let's see. He made his debut back in 1952. Dick Hoover.
Oh.
Dick Hoover.
Yeah, that
he
is.
He played for the Angels at one point.
That's J. Edgar's grandson.
Yeah. I hope I'm pronouncing this right. He was drafted by the Yankees in the 40th round of the 65 draft. Dick Such. I hope it's pronounced Such and not something else.
Oh, no.
Ooh.
Oh, man. This guy, I mean, he really tells you what he's looking for right away. Very short-lived Major League Baseball career. Oh, God. He died a month after his debut. Dick Wants.
Oh.
Dick Wants.
They say the heart Angels. Wants what it wants.
Played for the L.A. Angels. Now, here's one, Peyton. This is the last name. John Oscar Dickshot. Johnny Dickshot.
Okay, well.
That was his last name.
That'd be the one seat there.
Was he Johnny, or did you just call him Johnny?
by Johnny.
It's disgusting.
This guy made his debut in 1973, Dick Pole.
Oh.
That's a good one.
Yeah. Classic. And the number one who made his debut in 1883, Dick Burns.
That's an easy one.
That's a solid one.
I hate that.
That's a solid one. I made it through without laughing. I thought there was no chance of that.
No R.A. Dickey in here.
Boy, that's a great one.
Is it though? Like anything all the others had like a tie-in.
Yeah, they had a tie-in.
Is there anything better than, but Dick Trickle's better.
I still think Dick Trickle's better.
Dick Butkus is better.
Dick Butkus. Dick Butkus is a good one.
That's a great one.
I still giggle at it. I still giggle every time. If you don't giggle at these names, I mean, you're just too adult.
Yeah,
you're just too much of an adult.
That's a problem. Yeah, you can't have that. What are some of the? It's funny. This is because of this. I was looking at like other names that were great. So they had Dick Pole on there. Like Bleacher Report did this. I didn't know this. There was a football player. You may know this college football player. You remember a guy named Samoa?
No.
Yeah. We got Tommy Gunn. That was
Tommy Gunn.
Not from Rocky. Not Tommy the Machine Gunn. Not him. Blue Moon Odom. I like a lot of these. These are pretty good. Not as good as, obviously, though, the NASCAR driver. No, that's going to be the number one forever.
From the 817, does Dicker the Kicker count?
Cameron Dicker.
From the 469, Dick Hoover is Larry's cousin. I don't know that Larry Hoover is the cousin of Dick. Maybe.
Wow, this is interesting. There was somebody who played for, I guess, the Cleveland Browns in the 60s. His name was Fair Hooker.
You know, my dad went to high school with a girl named Gail Force.
I tried to get Eric again yesterday, and Hagee ruined it.
Oh no!
Yeah, because Hagee read it. He's like, "We're not going to be tricked by that," but he didn't know it was me doing it. He thought it was just somebody on the fan text.
Yeah,
and so I was like, "You ruined it." Eric would have read that directly, which is, I had said something about like my girlfriend one time skipped my graduation because she went to a Tess, like that was her name, like Tess. She went to a Tess Tickle concert.
Gotcha.
And then Hagee ruined it. Because Eric would have read that blind.
Yeah, he absolutely would have. Diamond Cavs here on 105.3 The Fan. Neighborhood Watch coming up in a couple of minutes. First, let's do this and hook you up.
All right, Tullos, that's right now. Call in number 10 at 877-881-1053. Wins a pair of tickets to see Seether and Daughtry on November 11th at the Pavilion at the Toyota Music Factory. That's call in number 10 at 877-881-1053.
It's Sean and RJ here on 105.3 The Fan. We'll get back into Cooper Flag coming up at 8 o'clock, Bobby, with the play-by-play voice of the Duke Blue Devils.
Yes, indeed, we will. Excited for it. Right now, we're going to do the Neighborhood Watch.
We need to take people out of their bubbles and their safe place and make them think about the world we live in.
You are fake news.
So what do you guys hear? What's the scuttlebutt?
I was telling you this yesterday. I was trying to talk to you about it when we were on the air, and you hadn't seen it yet. And so I was like, okay, I'm going to pull this then because this is from Austin, Texas. So they have not been able to figure out where this robot came from yet. But there's a robot running around Austin, and it's going by the name of Jacob, and it has a big bumper sticker on it that says in training. And in fact, Aiden's going to put it up on the fan cam here in a sec, some of the video that's out there on TikTok. But nobody has claimed this thing yet. They don't know where it came from, but the thing is running around, literally running around Austin. And I mean, like, just in, it looks like one of the iRobot robots, and it's interacting with people. In fact, let me see if Peyton's got time to hit the clip here. Okay, cool. So this is a clip somebody posted on TikTok of the robot coming up to him and talking.
Hey, I'm Jake. It's nice to meet you. Yo, G, that sleeveless plaid shirt is straight banging, and you flexing that smuggler build like a boss, no cap. And that watch on your wrist? Iced out, nephew. You got that clean drip locked down. You dig? For real. You radiate that big boss energy, my dude. Serious expression, but you looking hard.
That sounds like Brian brought us reading like rap lyrics.
I think that sounds like going halfway into a Macho Man Randy Savage impression.
Ooh, hit does it again not real sound quick. Like OJ?
Hit it again real quick. OJ.
Hey, I'm Jake. It's nice to meet you.
Does that sound like Macho Man a little
bit? It kind of does. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, the cream. Yeah.
But these things, look at this thing on the finger. This is the creepiest. Look at it running. That is the creepiest thing I have ever seen in my life.
Yeah, look, I am.
Why are we playing with this? Can we finally get, I'm all for freedom. I want some government overreach here. Shut this down.
I am so against. So this is an AI. This is AI, but it's also not what we think of AI anymore, right? Like, what would you call this? Is this AI?
I mean, I don't know. It's a robot. I just look at that and go, like, that's what's going to kill us.
Yeah. Like, Rise of the Machines.
Yeah.
That's what this is. I'm totally against this. Like, we are testing and we are tempting our own fate right here.
Yeah. I don't know why this is something where, like, we didn't ask for this. Was anybody asking for, like, can we get robots to just run around the streets of Austin?
No. No, and people think this is cool, and it's some overzealous tech nerd who's trying to, you know, become a billionaire and not understand, like, hey, guys, this is not smart. This stuff is going to take over.
Yeah.
Have you not seen War Games? I've seen War Games.
See, I've never seen War Games. This is actually, it's funny you bring that up.
Would you like to play a game?
It's funny you bring this up. This is a fight to this day I cannot bring up around Kristen. She gets angry. So
what, when you bring up machines and
she insists,
AI?
No, the movie War Games. She insists that we watch that movie together. I've never seen it. I swear, I've never seen the movie. Don't remember it. Nothing. She says, not only did we watch it at the house, I was like, hey, let's watch this. Like, I insist it. And she's like, you want to watch War Games? I watched it as a kid. I'm stunned. You want to watch it? This doesn't seem like the kind of thing you want to watch. And I went, yeah, let's watch it. And then I watched it and I enjoyed it. And she's showing me clips from it. And I go, I don't remember this at all. Never seen this. And I like have told her, I was like, I'm not trying to be funny here. You must have watched this with someone else and you're putting me and she goes, no. And she gets so mad when I bring that. But it's not even a bit. She thinks I'm doing a bit like I do other things. The reality is one of us is misremembering. I don't know which one.
Well,
one of us is completely misremembering this and putting either I'm removing myself from something that happened or she's putting me in place of someone else who watched it. See, that was the one caveat I was going to give myself, was maybe that's what happened. But I can't imagine just like, let's get ripped and watch War Games.
That's not a get ripped movie.
Like,
no.
I wouldn't think like, oh yeah, this is the energy tonight. Like, I wouldn't have been about that.
Yeah,
So I have no idea what that is, but whenever I hear the reference to it, I know somewhere Kristen is getting angry if she hears it. Because she knows that she believes that with 100% certainty, we watched that together. And she thinks I'm gaslighting her by saying, I would think
you would remember a movie that you saw.
Especially within the last 10 years, she's saying.
Yeah. But,
something
you know,
like
it may have been somebody else that she was with at the time, but before you guys met. I don't know.
That's what I was saying.
Yeah.
And she got really worked up about it. And she said, no, it absolutely was not. I remember we were in this apartment. We were watching it. She's like, no. And you had suggested watching it. I remember being surprised.
Okay, so this is interesting that she has this, because I am convinced All right. I have visual memory of me being on my, remember Compaq computers?
Yeah.
All right, I had a Compaq in college.
Mm-hmm.
I have visual memory of me being on MySpace in college. But if you go and Google when MySpace was formed, it says it was formed in 2004. And I graduated college in 2002. And I, to this day, refuse to believe that it was 2004 because I remember being in my college apartment in Knoxville on that computer on MySpace.
How did you graduate college in 2002 if you were here in 99?
What do you mean?
Or 98?
97, I moved here. Okay, this is where my parents moved.
I thought you were living here full time. That's why I was.
Well, no, it's at college.
You've thrown me off with your timeline. I thought you graduated college like 99.
Oh God, dude, how old do you think I am?
I mean, do you want me to answer?
46?
45. 45.
45,
Peyton.
Oh.
45. But either way, war games.
But maybe she has the same kind of memory
be,
that
or,
I do.
Or it could be that I don't remember it. I didn't end up liking the movie. But she's wanted to sit there and watch it. But when that movie comes up, it starts like angering her.
But this,
and it
this scares fight. Me. This
yeah,
scares
the robots are freaking creepy. All right. We stopped by the city of Anna a few weeks back for the Sean and RJ Firehouse tour.
Mm-hmm.
One of our best stops. Anna was fantastic.
Yes, Anna was great.
And we survived the tornado as it was like ripping through basically as we were leaving. But Anna was fantastic. In fact, we've had some people reach out about this. You guys, you don't have to just wait for us to like come find you. If you've got a firehouse in your neighborhood or you work in a firehouse and you want us to come out there, feel free to shoot us a text. Yes. We're always looking for those.
We
so,
are absolutely looking.
I know we've got another one coming up next month. I don't know if they've told us the location yet, but we got another one coming up next month. But if you want us to do the firehouse tour in your city or at your specific firehouse, feel free to shoot us a text and we'll take down your info. I'm sure they'd love to work it out with you guys. But the city of Anna put this post up this week, and I thought it was interesting. It caught my eye because it had those little alarm bells on it on Facebook. They had a bunch of little alarm emojis. And the city of Anna said, solicitor alert. They said, we've had several recent reports of pushy door-to-door solicitors making the rounds in Anna neighborhoods. Some are showing up in yellow safety vests and using high-pressure tactics to push their sales pitch, including reportedly telling people they are contracted by the city of Anna. Says, here's what you need to know. Solicitors are required to have a City of Anna issued permit. If someone comes to your door trying to sell something or collect information, ask to see their permit. No permit, no conversation. You are never obligated to answer the door. If someone makes you feel uncomfortable, trust your instincts. The City of Anna does not send employees door to door unannounced for sales or promotional purposes of any kind. So when I saw this and I saw it getting discussed in other community pages, this is apparently like a big problem right now in DFW. That there are a lot of people showing up at doors dressed up looking like they're city workers telling you, we're contracted with the city, and they're trying to push various things on you or just making people uncomfortable in general. And this has been like a big issue. Somebody said we have a no solicitation sign on our door. Usually works. Didn't this time. It said, curious if one of these is regarding a certain water filtration company. We had one very pushy man come today and stated that they were asked to come out by our community, but then walked it back when we questioned whether they were asked to come by the HOA or the city. And so a lot of shady things. Do you ever get any shady sales tactics or people come through, or do the PABs and your HOA, do they have things locked down there in Roanoke?
Yeah, well, we get, I wouldn't say shady. I mean, you have constant pest control people. Or people try to get you to change your internet or whatever.
Or the roofers, like the day after. Apparently,
the day after you get roofers.
You see, that's the great thing about Kyle Frazier and Frazier Roofs and Gutters. You don't get those pushy door-to-door sale tactics. They don't need
to do
it.
Yeah, you know, and I just like, no,
they
man.
They just got that earned reputation.
I just have the K-Post sign in my front yard nonstop. I don't have to worry about it. So,
exactly.
Yeah, but I welcome it. I'll hear your sales pitch, man. You got 5 minutes. Go.
But do you want a sales pitch from somebody who says they're from the city and they're not?
No. I don't want scammers.
Then God knows how weird that person is.
But you got it. You're gonna sell me on something. You want me to change pest control? Go ahead. You know, come to me, man. Give me your sales pitch.
The
I'll
one
listen.
People I don't like is that, like, if I'm in the grocery store and they stop me to like change my electric bill or anything like that. Like, it's an energy company.
In the
like,
grocery store?
Oh yeah, dude. There's a Walmart and Kroger in Rockwall. Yeah. It's like, I mean, it happened, I think, three or four straight weeks. They have an iPad and they're like, hey, what was your electricity bill last month? I'm like, that's a little personal here. But, you know, they start talking
that's
to you.
That's personal. Is that bad? They're not asking you your, like, you know.
I know, but, you know, it's a thing with, like, money and all that. But, dude, I had a conversation with someone personal. Right at the beginning. We talked for 15 minutes. We got all the way to the page on his iPad of, like, all right, what's the credit card information to sign you up? I was like, whoa, I don't want to sign up for it. And he was like, well, we've been talking this whole time.
Oh, dude, the cable or internet sales pitch at the door can be really pushy.
Yes.
Sometimes.
Well, you know, if you do this, hang on. If you do this, how about I do that?
What if I told you I could save this much?
How about I send this other guy out to you?
Yeah, it's like, oh, gosh, please no. But this actually, what Peyton's talking about, this happened to Kristen a couple of years ago where you'll walk in there and, they'll have some sort of setup right at the end of the checkout counters.
Mm-hmm.
Or at the doors where they're, and so this specifically was somebody was, I guess, pitching a bank, and I can't remember which bank it was. It was not like a regional one, but it was not a very big one. And Kristen was walking out, and this girl was standing there. And she goes, "Hey, can I talk to you about your banking?" Or was trying to stop her, and she was like, "I don't have time." And she was like, "No, my husband handles all that. Thank you though." And when she said, "My husband handles all that," the woman goes, "You know, you should really have some self-respect for yourself."
No, she didn't.
I was like, "What?" And she looked around and said, "Excuse me?" And she goes, "You need to respect yourself."
Jeez.
And she, like, turned around and walked. And Chris was like, "What the hell was that?" And so, of course, because I'm in charge and she has no respect for herself, she came home and told me, and then I handled it.
How did you handle it?
A paperweight. No, it wasn't like that one. It wasn't like the paperweight of the tourists. That's an inside joke. I did call the bank, and I was like, "You've got the rudest, like pushiest people trying to get people to sign up for your bank." And I mean, they handled it the way they should have. They're like, "That absolutely shouldn't happen." That sort of commentary is like whether they feel
what do they
or
give
not.
You? They give you $50, $100.
No, I always say the same thing. I don't want anybody to ever think I'm calling to get something.
Yeah.
So I will always, the first thing I'll do is say, like, I literally don't want you to do anything to make this right. I'm telling you, you guys are screwing up. And the only thing you need to do is just fix it moving forward. I don't want anything. I don't want you to send me any, like, we had this happen one time with, there's a restaurant around here. I don't want to say what it was. But they had, I told them, I called them to tell them about an issue we had. And I was just like, I don't want, they're like, "Do you want some BR guest coupons?" Or I was like, "No." I was like, "I don't. I'll probably still go back. Maybe not to that location. I'll probably still go back, but I just want you to fix it moving forward."
Yeah.
I literally don't want you to think this was anything to get leverage or anything else. I'm telling you, I'm upset.
Very admirable. Very admirable.
Because I feel like they may blow it off if they think I'm just trying to get a gift card. Mm-hmm. Whereas if I'm just like, "I literally don't want it. I just want you to fix it." Because I think this is just an awful way to go about things.
This is the side of Bobby. I don't know.
This is what I try to do. I'm a good guy, man. All right. We're going to very briefly touch on this one because I know Choppy's not going to be comfortable talking about this one. This week, Frisco announced that they have indicted the track meet stabbing suspect, Carmelo Anthony. The teenager accused of fatally stabbing another teen at a Frisco school track meet has been indicted on a murder charge. This is from Fox 4 News. Witnesses told police that then 17-year-old Carmelo Anthony stabbed and killed 17-year-old Austin Metcalf during a dispute in the stadium bleachers on April 2nd. Man, we're almost 3 months away from that already. According to Collin County District Attorney Greg Willis, Anthony was indicted on Tuesday for first-degree murder. This is what he said. He said, "Earlier this spring, our community was shaken by what happened at a school track meet in Frisco, the violent loss of 17-year-old Austin Metcalf. For weeks, my team has been presenting evidence to the grand jury. Today, I summarized that evidence, and I asked the grand jury to return a first-degree murder indictment against Carmelo Anthony," which they did. He then added, "With that indictment, the case now moves formally into the court system. From this point forward, we'll continue doing our part fully and fairly to pursue justice under the law." And they were very clear. They wanted to underline, the city of Frisco did, and Collin County and everybody else, that, hey, this is clearly a very tense and emotional topic that people have been really upset by. And it's obviously got an element to it that involves race relations and those sort of tensions just because of how it's played out. But the city and the county have just been like, "Let's just get some patience and let us work through what we're doing here. All right. We're trying to get to the bottom of what happened." And the defense attorney, Mike Howard, for Carmelo Anthony, was also similarly trying to play it down. He's like, "This is expected and this is a routine step in the legal process. Don't need anybody freaking out that the indictments happened. This was what we were expecting and we're prepared for, and we're going to get our day in court, and we're comfortable that he's going
to
be.
Yeah, he was always going to. It was always going to go through this process. Like, it was always going to go to trial.
Yeah, and so that's the thing where they just want to under, because this is obviously this. It was odd, the thing when it happened in Frisco, because initially, I think we all expected it to be really tense, and it wasn't. It slowly built, though. It felt like 2 weeks later, it had become a more tense issue, like, between neighbors and between communities than it was when it initially happened. Like, it's almost like it built up to where I think we were concerned initially, like, all right, is this going to become a point of racial tension in the community? It didn't feel that way on day one. Day two, about 2 weeks later, it had really ratcheted up and gotten
it
worse.
It had, and then that lasted, it went through the process of lasting a couple weeks, and then, like, everything in today's world, like, the news cycle just disappears, and something else happens, or something else takes precedence, or, you know, you get into the next, I mean, like, you get in the next wave of the news cycle, and all of a sudden, it goes away, and now it'll come back. It'll come back here, but... Yeah, I think this was all expected.
Yeah, it's the next step, and we'll obviously keep an eye on that and keep you updated on Thursdays here in Neighborhood Watch. That does it for Neighborhood Watch. Congratulations to the winner of the tickets for Seether and Daughtry. It is a great day. Cooper Flagg is here. He is a Dallas Maverick. They did not mess it up. Let's talk to somebody who knows him really well. That's right, whale alert. Let's talk to Duke Blue Devils play-by-play man David Shoemate next here on 105.3 The Fan.
This podcast is powered by Men's T Clinic. June is Men's Health Month. Optimize your total wellness with Men's T Clinic. For over a decade, Tolos continue to trust Men's T Clinic to transform their hormone health, mental focus, weight, movement, and sexual health. Be the next life change. 972-GO-MEN'S-T or mensteclinic.com.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.